With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's Arrowhead Pride lead film and draft analyst Ken Swanson
with the Bad Guy Report.
My man, Kent Swanson. You hear this guy in the Arrowhead Pride tailgate presented by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac. You can hear Kent Swanson on the 7th Street Casino Arrowhead Pride halftime show, 7th Street Casino Arrowhead Pride postgame show. I actually sat here and watched last week's game for Kent because I had 3 hours of drunk people calling me till midnight to celebrate. And you know what? I'm on 11 p.m. Actually, I'm on 10 the noon Sunday, and I'm on 11 p.m. right after Kent and the crew, Wicket and Sweeney, until 2 a.m. because I'm ready to rock. Kent, what's up?
Dink, we are so close to this game, and I am beyond excited
to
get this thing rolling. And I get to hang out with you.
So, I know.
I mean, come on.
I'll bring the snacks. You know what? I just had Lee Steinberg on, right? And I asked him how this Patty Flakes thing is going. And he told me there was 3 ketchup companies that were interested in Patrick, right? 3. But they chose Hunt's. And Lee Steinberg said, even though there's no affiliation, they went with Hunt's because of Clark. I think Clark Hunt's name, the name Hunt, was a big factor in choosing Hunt's ketchup.
That's amazing. I mean, it makes sense, right? It makes perfect sense. Good thing Kareem Hunt is not here anymore, because that could have been a little bit awkward. So,
you know what? He did tell me. I asked him about Patty Flakes, and he said Mahomes Magic Crunch will be on shelves soon at Hy-Vee. And I think he mentioned one other place too, but I don't remember what he mentioned. He said Patrick personally picked out this cereal. So Patrick, Mahomes Magic Crunch. No Patty Flakes anymore.
Why not Patty Flakes? Why not rock with the Patty Flakes, man? I like that better. For a guy that is so pun-oriented, Patty Flakes was, like, perfect for me. I'm a little upset about that, but we'll move on with that. It's okay.
Well, you know what? It is what it is. You know, Mahomes Magic Crunch, you got to go with it. All right, let's talk Mahomes Magic Crunch.
I'll still buy it,
Pete. I know you will.
I promise you. I will buy it, Dink.
You know what? If it's out on Sunday, you know damn well what we're munching during that game.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, we need to get in line for that one.
We got to do it upright this time, man. We need pizza. We need stuff like that. 610's going all. 610 Sports Radio is going all night, man.
It's gonna be fun, dude. I'm so excited for this, and the big celebration over at 610, celebrating what we think is going to be an AFC champion.
You know what? It's going to
be amazing.
It's going to be fun to celebrate with guys that grew up in this town like myself, like you, that we enjoyed this team. We've had the heartbreaks. We've been kicked in the crotch enough with this team in the playoffs. It's Mahomes versus Brady, all right? What can Patrick do differently the second time around? Belichick fooled him a little bit in quarter number one. He wins round number one, but then Patrick settled down in what became my favorite game of Patrick Mahomes this year.
Yeah, it was such a good response from him because he was so wound up. I think he mis-ID'd a few things in that first half, and they just did enough to slow him down. I think for Mahomes, what's going to be really important is to not let it be a half of football where he's kind of, you know, getting into that rhythm and finally figuring some things out. That margin's got to close pretty quick, right? And I think, you know, if he goes out and starts fast, if the opening script is strong and he just goes out there and gets going, I think that could really put a lot of pressure on the Patriots and then give him some confidence, let him get comfortable and into that game real quick and just get that thing rolling. I expect him to do good things.
But they do different looks. And we saw the Dante Hightower interception. That fooled Patrick. Belichick is the master of disguising coverages. It's something he does extremely well, especially the second time he sees you throughout a season. What kind of wrinkles are you expecting from Bill?
Well, I think one of the things, like one of the things that's really difficult for Mahomes is, and he's talked about it this week even, is this unscouted look. So it's got to be something. I think what Belichick will do, on top of some of the stuff that has success in week one, maybe dropping guys out, showing a six-man rush, and then dropping a couple out like he did, you know, stuff like that. I think you'll still see some of that. But I think what it's going to be is important for Belichick and the Patriots is just to throw something that he hasn't seen yet. What it could be, there's a lot of different things it could be, but trying to catch him on something he has yet to see, something exotic, something that's going to mess with his, you know, identifying the mic and sliding the protection correctly, the same kind of stuff he was doing, but just trying to keep things fresh. And that will be a key for them, is just trying to throw something that he is yet to see, because maybe they'll catch him on it.
How would you grade last week's performance? Because Terrence Paylor had said something interesting. You know how Andy Reid scripts the first 15 plays? He might not have had to go too deep into the bag of tricks because of the lead they had, the way the defense was playing, the way Damian Williams was running. So Patrick didn't have to do a ton in that game to win.
Right. And, I mean, I think you saw how vanilla it really was in that second half. You know, Andy Reid definitely kind of sat on some things that he might have, you know, wanted to put out there. I thought everything was just a tick off at times in that second half of the game. They drove down the field and put up 31. But then after that, it was just really kind of, you know, basic vanilla tick off. I thought there was some times Mahomes probably could have, you know, maybe tried to create outside of the pocket a couple times. But yeah, I think they definitely say some things in anticipation for this game. So I think, you know, I think Andy's going to unload it on Sunday. That's kind of my expectation. And you'll see a lot of stuff that maybe he's been saving. He's ready to unleash. You got to win this game to get that opportunity in the Super Bowl, recoup, get 2 weeks, you know, to prepare for that one. So, you know, unload it on Sunday is what I would do.
Talk to Kent Swanson, arrowheadpride.com. Did you happen to read Terrence Paylor's story about some of the nice words that Childress had said about Mahomes? And not only that, you know, his godfather, LaTroy Hawkins, as far as Alex Smith being a godsend, the things Mahomes was able to learn behind Alex Smith?
Oh, you know I did. And I do believe everything that's coming out. I don't think it's just lip service that, you know, that this whole developmental process has been so important to Mahomes. Alex, you got to give him all the respect in the world for what he did for him, helping him, you know, not hiding anything, not holding anything back, letting him see that process manifest itself. It's not the same with every other, you know, starting quarterback in the league. They're very protected. I think, you know, that year for him to go and watch that grind, to embrace the opportunity to sit there and watch that, I think has been critical for his growth and development. I think he would have been just fine last year. He would have, you know, maybe it wouldn't be this. Obviously, it wouldn't be what we saw this year. I think Mahomes would have had a lot of success last season, but I do think ultimately we're seeing, and it's being proved, that that time, that opportunity to spend a year kind of redshirting, more or less, learning, you know, the process and you know, developing some intel, has been critical. And you're seeing this remarkable season because he had a little time to rest.
You know what? That's interesting. What do you think? They still won the division last year with Mahomes starting?
You know, they might have. I think it probably would have been a slower start for him. Like, I don't think you want Patrick Mahomes' first start to be, you know, in New England. I don't know if they start as fast the same, but maybe they catch up in that back, and maybe they don't have that lull in the middle of the season where, you know, they were just abysmal on offense. It might have been out over time, but maybe a game or two less, I think, wins, and maybe they sneak, you know. I think it would have been a lot closer than it was.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident, where do you sit?
Man, you don't even. I'm like a 9. I'm feeling myself a little bit here, Bing.
Right.
I'm really confident in this team. I really like what they're doing. I think the defense, I'm buying into some of the changes that the defense has made. I'm buying into some of this production. I think it's real. I don't think it's a fluke that the last 2 weeks, you know, they've gone out there and really changed some things up and seen success with them. I think this team is rolling. I think it's rolling at the right time. It's in Arrowhead. The energy in that building is going to be phenomenal. I think the dynasty ends. on Sunday.
Are you scared of an Arctic blast of 20 degrees?
I'm not scared of an Arctic blast of negative.
It's 20. Not an Arctic blast.
And neither is this team. You know, that's what's so impressive about this team. They don't care. They can play in the parking lot. They don't care. They're just here to play. They want to win. And I love that about this team. I love that about this particular group of guys.
Well, Kent Swanson, arrowheadpride.com. Follow him on @Kent_Swanson. I cannot wait to see you pace up and down the studio on Sunday night at 5:40. Now, we got to wait this week. Last week, we got lucky because we got the first game. And we could chill out all weekend, Kent. You have to contain yourself until less than 48 hours, about 46 hours?
Yeah, no, it's about 46 hours. And having to do pregame before that, it'll be interesting to see what kind of state I am in, because I'm pretty sure I'll just be – I might be pacing while I'm on the radio. We'll see.
Yeah, I saw your new Arrowhead Pride gear for the Senior Bowl.
Nice. Dude, we're going to be, we're doing the whole thing on Sunday, and then I leave on Monday, win or lose, whether the Chiefs win or lose, me, Matt Lane, Craig Stout, we will all be in Mobile, Alabama on Monday night, getting ready for some draft content, and we'll be doing game recaps regardless. It's going to be fun. 3 podcasts next week. It's going to be a big week for us. We're really excited. And we'll be repping Arrowhead Pride gear, so it's going to be a good time.
I don't know if you're going to need jackets in Mobile, Alabama, man.
I think we probably will. I was looking at the temperatures. It's going to be like 40 to 50 degrees all week, so we still might need to wear these pullovers and stuff. So it's coming at the right time that we got this stuff.
You going to make your way over to Atlanta?
Man, I wish I could. I don't think that's possible. I think I'll be on the pre and post game show for the Super Bowl if the Chiefs win. Last I heard, I will be on for that show. So, and I don't think Pete will. I think Pete will be in Atlanta. So it might be. Maybe it's me and you, Bink. I don't know.
It might be. It's where the players play, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right,
dude. I'm looking.
They need the A team here,
dude. I'm looking at the temperature next week in Mobile, Alabama: 56, 65, 65, and 52 all week.
Okay, that's not bad. I looked earlier and it was a little bit colder. So that's encouraging news.
It is encouraging news. Well, you'll have fun in Mobile, Alabama. Please break me off a call from there because I love the Senior Bowl.
Oh, absolutely, my man. I will.
All right, Kent. Make sure you remember that. All right, thank you. Kent Swanson, @Kent_Swanson. Hear him all day Sunday, arrowheadpride.com. They are geared up, amped up, ready to cover the Chiefs in a Super Bowl. All right, Kent, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.
There you go, Kent Swanson, right there. Well, the Patriots are playing the role of the underdog.
Wah. Aren't they? I mean, really, in the 4 teams that are left.
Yes.
Chiefs versus Patriots.
You play it. Hold that thought. Now.
Rams versus Saints, technically speaking.
They're technically underdogs.
Aren't they the underdog?
Yeah. But they've been in 8 straight AFC championships. That's the voice of Jason Nivens, 98.9 The Rock, who joins me on Friday nights because I do a beer segment 7:30 to 8, so he comes in here and does it with me, and then he hangs around and talks football with me.
If you go to Twitter right now, you can see what we're rocking.
Yes, we're all 3 of
us. All 3 of us. Julio, too.
That's right.
Me, Julio, and you. We're rocking some good luck. Coming up next, we discover the Patriots. And why are they crying? Next.
The new name of the series, Mahomes Magic Crunch.
His voice, Lee Steinberg, Patrick Mahomes' agent, came on with me earlier. Asked him about patty flakes. He said, going Mahomes Magic Crunch.
Nah.
We got the Mahomes headbands on.
We do.
Thanks to Ty James on 98.9 The Rock. Nivens bringing Julio, myself,
and me.
These Mahomes and Nivens himself. We're all 3 wearing Mahomes headbands. Hopefully it brings us a little luck. But Tom Brady.
Yes.
And the New England Patriots.
Them.
Playing
them things.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Everybody thinks we suck. Chris Carter, former wide receiver, Hall of Fame wide receivers, on the drive today. It was asked about those comments by Tom Brady.
I thought someone told Tom Brady and his wife that they weren't attractive. I thought, like, I was like, he's insulted. Someone called him ugly. Like, we know that's a joke. So the underdog thing, Philadelphia, yeah, last year it did work.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about New England, some type of way, with all the success that they have that uniqueness as if preparing as if they didn't have any success. So if it was some other organization, I would poo-poo it a little more. But New England, if you look at, man, through all the years, let's look at Spygate, Deflategate, all the success, people don't ever give them the credit. Like, they always play the underdog card. So this is not new, but it is kind of cute to see Edelman. He's out trying to sell T-shirts and onesies, you know, on his little website and everything, saying, don't bet against us. That's what he's saying, right? Like, I mean, come on, stop, man.
Yeah,
no organization in all of sports that has been favored as much as the Patriots have been favored the last 15, 16 years.
Yeah, Julian Edelman's got these bet against us T-shirts. By the way, that full interview, 610sports.com on demand, or just hit the tab that says Chiefs Patriots interviews. Mm-hmm. This week, it's got all the interviews from 610 Sports Radio that involve both the Chiefs and Patriots talk and all the different programs from Seth Fesco in the morning to Show and Vern to the drive.
I mean,
to this show.
I understand the motivation behind it. You're trying to keep your team focused and rallied, and you know,
I get it, dude. I'd play the same card.
Yeah, you know, but it does come down to, like, I mean, Brady's the GOAT. Let's not poke the bear. Let him just come in, you know, let him just try and let Arrowhead provide that 12th man like it needs to and like it does. And it has in the past many a times. I mean, you know, you've also heard it. And it's a testament to Kansas City sports, because you heard, you know, Madison Baumgartner after the 2014 series, which, of course, the Giants won. And when he went on, what was it, Letterman or whatever, saying, it was scary going out there because that place is loud. So Kansas City does get loud, and it's going to have to really bring it on Sunday to just help drive home the fact that, do you want to go to the Super Bowl?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one thing I was thinking. Because that Patriots-Chiefs game is the one that set the decibel record, 142.2?
Yeah.
And it was so loud and raucous, we beat the hell out of it.
Yeah.
42-14.
Sure.
And something I was thinking about, can that atmosphere make its way over to Kauffman for that Oakland A's wild card game?
Sure.
Could that intensity, it's the same people.
Yeah.
They just change your shirt from red to blue.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same group of guys.
For the most part,
go out there and pound the bruise and go cheer on their sports
for
team,
the most part,
you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
So I mean, you know, you made mention, I think it was the last interview, about the cold weather coming through, 23rd, upper 20s now. It went from being upper 20s or whatever.
It went from Arctic blast to incredible hot takes by Colin Cowherd talking about how Chiefs fans are going to be muffled with things over their face. And here's the thing about being cold, though. People are loud when it's cold.
Sure.
It helps you when you're cold. Being loud, drunk, and obnoxious helps you.
That's how we spend every Friday night.
It helps you in the cold.
That's how we spend every Friday night.
And we're not, you know what? We're not cold every Friday
night,
are we?
No. So, yeah, I think that there's no denying what needs to be brought. Now, you didn't tell this story last week, and you could have kicked me in the junk, and you probably should have, but I was not going to be able to watch the game last weekend because I was supposed to go to the theater.
Which is fine, because you're a rock guy. You're not a sports guy.
But you know what? But, it was,
but you do this.
But here's the thing. No, but here's what happened.
I can't tolerate.
Here's what happened, though. I purchased the tickets as like a Christmas gift for my wife and I, and then the playoffs got announced and where we fell, and I was like, oh, really? 4:30? And I'm supposed to,
you may end up.
Yeah. So, but then what happened was my kids got sick, my wife wasn't feeling good, the snowpocalypse came through, and she was, and then I called the theater and, like, yeah, we don't do refunds, but you can donate it for a tax write-off. And I'm like, hey, I like a tax write-off. Who doesn't?
Everybody does.
So then I was able to do the tax write-off and watch the entire game. I was texting you, of course, throughout it, even called you maybe mildly intoxicated afterwards when you were doing your post-game
Which
show.
I loved, and you can do it this week,
yeah.
11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
So
phone line's open.
So this time around, there is no theater playing. planned for Sunday. I was going to go out to the game with a buddy of mine, but he got one of those Craigslist jump things where, like, he went to go buy some computer parts and got jumped by five dudes with box cutters, got all sliced up. This is not a joke. This is, like, a real deal. I'll show you the pictures. So he's kind of like, hey, man, I don't think I can go because I'm covered in stitches. He's like, he's got, like, 40 stitches in his back. He's got stitches in his side. He had to break out a window just to flee, like, legit.
Where at?
And then somewhere in South Kansas City, because he's on the Kansas side, but he went over to South Kansas City and Missouri side, and it was a setup. So I guess it's a long story, but, yeah, he's all right. He lived.
Good.
I got dark really quick.
Yeah, I know. And then my kid, my baby boy is sick, so I'm not going to be able to go to the game, but I will be watching it in solidarity. I mean, I think that's like, I mean, like, I would like to go, but, I mean, the baby's sick. Like,
I get you.
You know.
You know what you should do? You should drink some Big Rip beer.
I like the way you walked into that. That's good.
We do this segment, Two Guys in a Brewery, 7:30 to 8 each week. And we've gotten comments on the text line.
Yep.
We've gotten comments on Facebook.
Yep.
Hey, why don't you guys have Big Rip in? It's like, I can only do one brewery at a time. I can't, like, I'm a Northland guy. I can't, and I've had a bunch of Northland companies come in. I can't sit here and always go Northland. That's why we went way out east.
Yeah.
We went East 40. We went New Axiom. We did all this.
Yep.
Now it's time to come full circle back to my stomping ground.
Yes.
The beautiful God's country of North Kansas City. Big Rip Brewing. Bree Burrows.
It's like North Dakota City, isn't it? It's
wearing,
like, it's
her
way Chiefs up there, isn't it?
Stocking cap in here telling me her story, why she brews, and we'll sample the delicious beer she brought. Big Rip Brewing. Two Guys in a Brewery next.
It's Friday, so crack one open with Two Guys in a Brewery. On Bink at Night, here's Bink and Nivens from 98.9 The Rock.
Two Guys in a Brewery, we do this at 7:30 each and every Friday. We'll spend the entire 2.5 hours on Chiefs and Patriots, but we do break away because one thing we know about our audience, you like your beer.
Yes.
And you like your breweries.
Love it.
This segment, we've got a lot of people that want to go try these breweries the next day, and they'll go in there. Tell them you heard them on 610 Sports Radio. But joining us now is Bree Burrows, and she's the brewer out of Big Rip. This is part of the North Kansas City little brewery area they have down there. Really the first, I do believe the first one down there, Bree.
Yes, that is correct. We opened just before Cinder Block did.
Okay, before Cinder Block. They're at 216 East 9th Avenue, North Kansas City, Missouri, 64116. They close at 11 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow they're open 12 to 10. Sunday, 12 to 5. The day they're closed is Mondays, but they're 4 to 9 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if you want to go try some Big Rip Brewing.
Will you guys be staying open later on Sunday because of the game, or is it still the plan to close up just to get that out of the way in case people were wondering?
Yeah, it is still the plan to close at 5, but they're going to run some growler specials Sunday. So,
so come in
super,
and get it to go.
Super cheap discounts on growlers on Sunday if you want to grab something before the game.
Absolutely.
64 and 32.
Hey, nice. Well, then a growler's 32, though, isn't it?
Or is growlers are. We don't do growlers there.
But the growler's 64.
But, yeah, so the little one, I guess you could call it a squealer or a howler. And then, the growlers are technically 64.
That's what I love about these brewers. They just make up words. It's like America. You can make up words. No one knew what a Google was until it came along and it owns everything now.
I wish I would have invested in it, actually. Bree, this is a different deal. You're the first female brewer that we've had in here. It might be more common than I know, but every brewer that we've had in has been male. Is this a male dominated profession? I know in our field, the sports radio field, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't come across many female brewers. You're the first one that's been in here.
Yeah. It's definitely a male dominated industry.
Why?
I mean, you know, I think it's mostly, you know, I don't really have a big answer for that, but it's probably a lot to do with, it takes a lot of hard work, heavy lifting. I know some females can be intimidated.
Sure.
Not you.
By that. No.
Nah.
She didn't look intimidated.
Not at all. Nah.
She looks pretty hardcore.
Huh? Nah, I mean, look at that shirt she's rocking. It says Kansas City with a Jason mask on it, man. Yeah. I mean, that's where it's at. Yeah. So.
All right. How'd you start brewing?
Yeah.
Well, my dad and my brothers started homebrewing, and I wanted to get into it too, so they both taught me how to homebrew, and then I started picking up bartending shifts at Big Rip a couple years ago. And once the assistant brewer quit, I was like, hey, I wanna go back there.
So you're bartending.
Uh-huh.
And then you say, no, I want to go back there and make the beer. That's quite a jump. I haven't heard really. The homebrew stuff I've heard, but I haven't heard jumping from bartender to brewer.
I mean, it makes
brewer.
Sense. I mean, it's in-house.
It's not easy to brew beer. You have to pick this up. This is tough. I've tried to...
We hear this story every week.
I tried to
brew. Bink tried it one time.
Yeah. So now I go to the...
It came out orange.
Yep. Came out orange and it sucked.
And it was horrible.
Everything
else. Yeah, we hear this every week. Yeah, every week, Bink.
How did you know what you're doing? Because it's not easy to know what you're doing this field.
She just told you, her dad and her brother.
No, I know that, but there's more than that.
Yeah, I think I've always kind of been super creative. And even when it comes to cooking, like I just kind of make stuff up. I'm like, oh, this stuff sounds like it'll go good together. And that's kind of my approach to brewing. You know, there's some brewers that are super scientific about it and want to get everything like exact. And I'm just like, hey, I think these grains and these hops will go well.
So
let's try it out.
So you pretty much subscribe to the KISS philosophy of keep it simple, stupid, right? Like let's not overthink it. Let's not worry ourselves with, you know, over analysis. Let's just make it and see what happens. Right on.
Yeah.
And your brother and your dad, are they supportive of your professional choice?
Oh yeah. My brother loves to tell people that he taught me everything I know.
Of course. Yeah.
And
that's brothers for you.
Are they jealous that you're a brewer and they're not?
I don't think so.
You mean you went pro?
Yeah, I kind of got lucky, but...
You a pro. You're in the big leagues.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good analogy.
I mean, I think they just kind of like doing it for fun. My dad wins a lot of medals and homebrew competitions.
Really? So he's still active then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right on.
Yeah, they're both Missouri Mashers is where I started as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I went and chugged with those guys before.
Yeah, we chug a lot of beer.
The beer chug. That's another Northtown brewery, Callsign Brewery. They've been in here.
To go back to the Missouri Mashers, just for maybe some people that are ignorant to it, because I'm partially knowledgeable of it just from talking with you, but can you kind of just real quick rundown of what the Missouri Mashers are?
Yeah, the Missouri Mashers is one of several local Kansas City homebrew clubs. It's the best way to expand your knowledge about homebrewing.
Okay.
If you make a beer... You know, your friends are going to be like, hey, that's a really good beer.
Sure.
But if you bring it to a homebrew club, they're going to tell you what they actually think of your beer.
Really?
Yeah.
So they won't be nice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're there to teach you and to help you.
Which is good.
You know? Yeah.
We all need that negative reinforcement at times. Now, do you compete against your brother and dad? I mean, do you compete? Have you ever competed beers against them in a contest?
Yeah, I've definitely entered some of the same... homebrew competitions that they have. One of them recently was the Mashers every year do Iron Brewer. So it's kind of like Iron Chef where you're
like
on teams
like
and they kind of just...
Right.
You know, they did a fantasy draft of ingredients. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I love fantasy football, but fantasy draft... So you draft the ingredients and you got to make a beer.
Yeah, draft the ingredients, make a beer, and that's the first round. And then...
Dude, that's awesome.
Second round is usually some whatever the board decides they want you to make.
Oh, I am game. Evans and I need in this.
I think so, yeah.
Our beer would absolutely suck.
It would be horrible.
But at least we tried.
You know, we could create an armpit stout.
Yeah.
Does not sound refreshing.
At all. We could create a toe jam.
How about a Julio Sanchez IPA?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds pretty damn good.
There you go. Julio, let's see. Toe jam IPA or something. Yeah.
You got to have something that sounds good when you make beer.
I think an armpit stout sounds pretty good.
I do not think that sounds good.
No.
Brie, you're a brewer. Does that sound good
no,
or bad?
No, it kind of makes me want to... I'm just thinking about it.
I never order that.
What if it's the greatest stout you've ever had, though? Armpit stout. I mean, come on. There's moose drool. Why not armpit stout?
You know, there's moose drool.
I love moose drool.
See?
It's a great beer.
Moose drool.
You might like armpit stout then.
Really,
that's it. Hashtag armpit stout. Let's get on this.
I love the local beer scene. And how often do you... Do you sample the other local breweries, see what they're doing? Because we found out all these brewers know each other.
Yes.
Like, they all are friends. At least most of them.
Yeah, talk to most of them often. And, you know, I go into their breweries and we hang out and we talk about beer, talk about what's coming out soon. They'll come to Big Rip.
It is amazing the camaraderie that is still really strong and present in the local brewers.
We haven't seen them fight yet or have competition with each other yet.
Now, a battle royale in about 3-4 years, I see it.
Like an Anchorman style. Yeah. They're all hitting each other with beer bottles and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Somebody chugging an armpit stout and yeah.
But I like, you're in an area that's got breweries, and Roddy Beagle has been in here. He's a friend that used to be at Colony, and they don't do beer, I guess, anymore. But Call Sign's been in.
Yep.
Been the center block many times. Calibration Beer. I like the fact that we got beer pockets in the city.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Crossroads area, we got Corn Label. We've got Big Rip, or not Big Rip, but Border.
Yeah.
Double Shift. Yeah, Brewer Imperial.
Yeah,
a few of them. And Stockyards.
Got a couple more
Stockyards.
Coming up.
And Mission, Kansas. You know, we got this Transport Brewery that came in here not too long ago. They're going to be in Shawnee. Samuel's Brewing is coming from Hutchinson in here, and there's another one.
Yeah.
I used to be able to keep up with these things, but there's just so many. I remember when Strange Days opened, we were all so excited a new brewery was opening.
Yeah.
And then, boom, expansion.
Do you see that? Like, I know that, and that we've talked to a couple other brewers about this a while back. The Kansas City Star ran an article about, is it getting saturated, oversaturated with local breweries in town? And I don't see it.
No,
I don't see that happening for some time. Because, you know, you've got a couple few out in Lee Summit.
Like in the 90s, it wasn't ready. There were some places to try, but it wasn't ready.
Yeah. No, right now it's definitely, I mean, it's arguably the most, you know, sort of buy local thing you can do and be a part of is supporting local breweries or, you know, or starting one up yourself. Where do you see it going? Being in the middle of it, where do you see it going in the next, say, 5 years for Kansas City?
I think it's just going to continue to blow up. Like you said, we all support each other. So if you know, someone tells us that they're having problems, we're going to all kind of try to pitch in and help and promote them. And, you know, like it's just crazy. Like people think it's oversaturated, but I think those people don't really understand the people that work in this industry.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And everybody, you know, the people that like craft beer, they like craft beer. And that's all they drink. And they'll go from one to the other to the other. They're extremely loyal.
Yeah.
I found that these are extreme. The beer community. Now, there is the people just go and try it. But then there's the beer community that literally hops around to all of them.
Yep.
And goes and tries them all.
And you got the barley bus that takes people around. And then I've seen now that there's like starting to be like brewery pub crawls that are happening where like people are like, hey, go here and go there and go this way.
Well, I know Big Rip, you guys do like a bunch of events and whatnot down there.
Yeah, we try. We're trying to do a lot more this year. We started doing trivia about once a month. We did it yesterday. Next month is another one on the 21st. It's always horror themed because we're a horror sci-fi movie.
Just don't do karaoke.
Okay.
Brewery. So.
Thus, the name Big Rip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't do karaoke.
No, I don't like karaoke.
Do J-Oakey. Bring Jay Binkley out. Bink Oakley.
Everybody's going to come watch.
I want to see I want to see you do some sort of Neil Diamond. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not Sweet Caroline. That one's shelved. But I mean like
Big
Old Kentucky
Rip
Woman or something.
Brewing, 216 East 9th Avenue, North Kansas City, Missouri.
Don't you, Julio, the Brewer, see him sing some Neil Diamond?
Burroughs is
no
in here.
No doubt about that.
When we come back. Welcome back to Two Guys in a Brewery. We do this every Friday night, 7:30 to 8, a different local brewery in town, because Jason Niven's 989 The Rock and I love local beer. And tonight, we have Big Rip Brewing in from North Kansas City, 216 East 9th Avenue, NKC Mo 64116. Closes at 11 o'clock tonight. Go grab yourself a big Taze burger and help on the
I love
big
this.
Rip.
I'm looking over BigRipBrewing.com, your webpage.
Yeah.
Bicycle and Dog Sundays.
Yeah.
Ride your bicycle or bring your dog on the patio.
Bring both.
And get $1 off your first drink. That's great. I love
it. I love it. All right, we got to sample the beer. You have provided three different beers for
Fantastic.
Us. Now, one is off the menu.
Correct.
But two of them are on the menu, which everybody's got their, because you guys have a Hef and everything else.
Yeah.
This one we're trying now is an original. You call it the ORC. It's the Oatmeal Raisin Cookie. It's a brown ale, America Brown Ale, 7% ABV, and it's got the smell. You can smell that oatmeal raisin cookie in it, but it's not overpowering when you drink it. So when you thought about a stout, Bree, why did you say I need to make an oatmeal raisin cookie beer? What was the inspiration?
It's just, I think it's the owner, I think it's his favorite cookie.
Okay.
So they were like, hey, let's make a cookie beer. But, you know, stouts are the most common dessert kind of beer. But I think with browns, you kind of get more flavor from the adjuncts. Whereas the stouts kind of, you're mostly getting malt and you have to put so much adjuncts in there to overpower that.
And if you're the kind of person that's like, look, I like the idea, but it's going to be too much for me. They do have a traditional milk stout. You've got a brown ale. You've got a couple of brown ales. You've got an Irish stout. So you have you have just sort of the safe bets.
You've got a few more stouts than I've seen.
But if you are adventurous, this is something fun. You know, I mean, now, if you're the guy that got the cookies from the sandwich shop, and you're like, I can't wait to have my chocolate chip cookie, and you ate it, and you're like, damn it! It's oatmeal raisin. It's not
I don't like something that tastes just like a cookie. Like, I had a donut beer the other day, and it's really a donut taste to it, which is fine, but it's not crushable. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a crushable beer because I don't get the oatmeal raisin kind of overpowering what I'm drinking.
How often do you guys, guys and gals, switch out your kegs, go through your different, and how many do you normally have on tap at any given time?
We have 13 on tap, plus kombucha from the brewery and root beer that we make in-house.
Okay. Gotta try the root beer. I'm a root beer junkie.
Oh, yeah.
I am, so I'm going to come up and try that. But so you always have 13 going?
Yeah, 13 beers, and then it really just depends on what it is. Our IPAs go through the fastest.
Okay.
And then I think stuff like this goes fairly quickly after IPAs.
IPA is the oldest beer around, isn't it? Didn't the British put this on the frigates because it's India Pale Ale that could not be,
but it had to do with like the transporting, right? Like being out on the ship across the ocean or whatever.
There's so many like stories about its origin and everything that you don't really know, you know.
Somebody decided to eat mushrooms out of a cow manure.
You have West Coast IPA, Isle 12 West Coast IPA, which is a different style. We've tried Sierra Nevada has a good West Coast style. Yeah. What is this IPA that we're drinking?
This one is the Foggy Haddonfield.
Foggy Haddonfield.
Yeah, so it's like a hazy, juicy IPA.
It's low IBUs too. So if you're like sitting there going, I don't like a lot of bitterness to it. It's low IBUs.
Yeah, it's low IBUs. It is 7.7% ABV.
You guys kick once, up your
once,
ABVs.
Once, now, we all know ABVs because you and I kind of poke you.
Alcohol by volume.
Right. But what is IBU for the ignorant folks out there? I hear it a lot, and I'm like,
International Bitterness Unit.
I still know what that means. Oh, okay.
It's like the actual scientific amount of hops that are in the beer. It really... A lot of people order beer based on IBUs, but it's all, no one perceives IBUs the same as the next person.
And what is considered extremely bitter, more than 50?
Yeah, I would say so.
So you guys, the one we're trying here, it's 41, and it's and we were talking about this off air, like IPAs for me, I've never really been a fan of. Me and Julio were talking about that too. Just never really been a big fan. I've always felt like they were too bitter. IPAs. They hit too hard. But a lot of the ones we've been trying local wise have a little more of a flavor to it, not quite as bitter. And this does taste more like a summer beer, like you know, you just got done, like you said, mowing the yard. Fishing, you know, playing backyard ball, whatever. You might crack open a couple of these because they are refreshing. Absolutely. Yeah.
I would start for winter. What's your big winter beer? Because you also brought us a stout called the Bacta Imperial Chai Brown Ale. Oof. I consider stouts winter beers.
Yeah. So that one, that one, the chai, we kind of have been changing it up every year, but it's our big winter one, as well as the oatmeal raisin cookie.
Oh God, that's so good.
You guys have a Kolsch raspberry, gluten-free too, by the way. If you can't have gluten-free raspberry beer, Hefe the Killer, which is your Hefeweizen, You've got an oat pale ale.
How is Zelda's
Miss Fancy Pants English pale ale?
How is Zelda's vanilla cream?
It's really good. If you like cream soda, that's...
Is that what it's...
Yes. It tastes very much like cream soda.
Twins cherry cheesecake on deck.
Yep. Yeah, that's the Twins cheesecake and the blueberry vanilla we're doing for our Valentine's Day party.
You want to... when is that? What is it?
February 10th. Sunday, yep. February 10th, we've got a waffle truck coming out. We're opening at...
Wait a minute. What's a waffle truck?
You know, it's just like a food truck. It's just waffles.
But
come on, man.
Waffles.
I've never seen a waffle truck.
Yeah. I think they do like waffles on a stick or something. Yeah.
It's like the Waffle House on wheels.
That's all you need is a giant loaf of bread
on
a stick.
Dude, I love waffle trucks. This sounds fantastic. I would love a waffle truck here at the studio.
My buddy...
I love waffles.
My buddy...
How about a waffle beer?
My buddy Dusty used to do cakes down the River Market.
Seriously, though. What about a waffle stout with a little maple syrup type thing, like a waffle beer?
Call it Binkley's Waffle Beer.
Pancake beer. Am I onto something there?
Yep. That
so look,
sounds good.
So you're hired part time. Do you all offer food? It looks like you don't, but you have.
We don't, but Hog Jaw Barbecue's right next door.
Oh, Hog Jaw Fritz.
They've got a touchscreen kiosk in the brewery, so.
Oh, right on.
You just order it; they'll bring it over.
Wait a minute! You can touchscreen Hog Jaw.
Yeah,
I love that barbecue place.
Yeah, it's great.
See, I like this. And there's nothing against breweries that serve food. There's nothing against that because I understand there's a lot of people that can't get a significant other or whatever to go to a brewery unless they have food. But most beer snobs, like ourselves.
Yes.
And like our old boss.
Yes.
Likes you to concentrate just on your beer.
Yes.
Not your French fries or your burgers.
I agree.
You put all your effort, and I think most craft beer fans love food trucks because it means all your concentration is on that beer.
Yeah, yeah, and for me, I'd rather go to a brewery and be able to have the option to bring my own food in instead of hating.
So I can bring my own food in. I can bring my own food in there.
Any food you want, you can bring in, plus Hanja.
There is a particular brewery in town that has a big a brew hall in downtown, and the food is a little lackluster from the couple few times I've been present there, and it's a little disappointing because
that waffle truck in.
But the waffle truck, that's a great idea.
Be a waffle truck.
That's a great idea. This should just be at every brewery. Yeah. Just waffles and beer every day.
Look, hey, we got our Bink, you and I ever get kicked out of radio? Niven's and Binkley's waffle truck. We'll take it on the road. We'll take it downtown.
I think Stockyards
uptown.
Has a brunch style. Border had something that's a breakfast beer as well that had kind of that.
Yep.
That breakfasty feel to it that's high ABV, but I just think a waffle or pancake beer sounds so good.
Wait.
To eat pancakes and waffles.
Would you
is a food pairing made for me.
Would you even go so far as maybe to take one of your bacon slices and dip it in for flavor?
Oh, bacon flavored beer.
Oh yeah.
Am I on something?
No, bacon. Let's pump the brakes.
My dad made a bacon flavored beer once. It was awful. It was so bad.
Was it bad? Was it lager?
It was lard.
I don't even remember, but it was lard. Like, I think it was like flavoring.
Yeah, yeah.
A for effort.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think we just leave the bacon to where the bacon belongs, which is on the meat.
Nivens wants a cannabis beer.
No, I don't. No. It's not that I want a cannabis beer. It's just that as somebody who is a cannabis connoisseur, I feel like, you know what? You don't need to bring those two together. I feel like one can be had over here enjoyably, and then the other one can be had over here. Now, I've had some people tell me, like, you don't like edibles. No, I'm a fan of edibles. But I just don't see it gelling very well inside of a beer. And then I've had a couple people tell me, like, just, when it comes out, give it a try. So I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to samplings. I just think, personally, as someone who's a Yes We Cannabis guy, leave it there. And have it in, have a nice little toke when you're having a sip of, whatever from.
Well, this definitely gets a big thumbs up for me, Big
Absolutely.
Rip.
Absolutely.
This beer is all delicious.
Thank
Brie Burrows does a fantastic job as the brewer down there. 216 East 9th Avenue, North Kansas City, Missouri, 64116. And if you're driving around now, they're open till 11 p.m. plus. You can go in there tomorrow and sample their beer, which I hope you do.
And don't forget, Sunday, you mentioned first time out that you got growlers to go.
Yep, we're going to do some growler discounts, a few bucks off, so
support,
ready for the game.
Support your local brewer, support your local team.
Watch some Chiefs, beat the Patriots, drink some fine oatmeal raisin cookie beer.
It's pretty good stuff, man.
All this stuff goes good
Appreciate
with winning.
It.
Goes good with touchdowns.
Yeah. Cheers to
cheers to
the brewer. Thank you.
Big Rip Brewing. Thanks for coming in here. We really, really, really enjoyed it. Thank you. Coming up next, I talked to the voice of the New England Patriots this week, Bob Sosley. What did he have to say? Well, you'll find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.